You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenz. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. We've got a monster program lined up this afternoon for you. You like football? We've got football. You like fantasy football? We've got fantasy football. You like hot roster fantasy football? The kid is hot tonight. Whoa, so hot tonight. I'm going to tell you, we're getting better and better at singing that song, huh? You know, well, I think I might like join a Loverboy cover band or something like that. Or a Loverboy cover band of the cover band. As the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart would say, who will join me in studio. Pat Mayo, super lock of the week. He's got a couple of weeks left here, 3 weeks left to turn things around and end strong. I'm looking forward to seeing who Pat Mayo has circled on the card this week. We're breaking it down. All right, we got a ton of stuff to get to on the program. And Steve Merrill, of course, will bat lead off, and we're going to talk college football. Bowl mania has arrived, man. It's a countdown to bowls. And truth be told, some of these bowls, although pretty dumb, and there's some pretty bad bowl games this year, can't be worse than like half the NFL games that we've watched this year. But I digress. So we're going to talk college football with Merrill. We'll talk fantasy football with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, and then we'll talk betting with Mayo. It kind of sounds strange. I'm like, are we sure? Is it not like, shouldn't Mayo be doing the fantasy and Cam doing the betting? It's like reverse friend. I just realized this at the end of the year. I'm like, man, I think we might have these guys kind of in the wrong spots here. But no, that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. Mayo breaks fantasy down all week long. Mayo, and it was great seeing Mayo at our live event last week. The last thing Mayo wanted was people coming up to him. So Frank Gore, Carlos Hyde this week, man. And, trust me, it happened. It happened. I'm used to people coming up to me. Hey, Morenzi, who do you like? It seems, they come up to me a little bit less recently. That's how you know when you're winning or losing. When I lived in Vegas, when you walk in and you're winning, everyone knows it. You got the swagger, people at the window are talking, everyone knows. That's when you got like strangers coming up to, hey, who are you taking to that Clipper game tonight? And then when you're on a cold streak, people are looking the other way. Except your bookie, he'll always find you. All right, so we got a ton of stuff to get to. As I stated, we've got three weeks left of regular season football. So let's do this thing. It's time for our bold predictions of the week. So bold prediction number one. No coach in the National Football League will run a fake punt up 21 points with 5 minutes left. That's bold prediction number one. I can guarantee it. Why? Because no other coach is as big of a jackass as Pete Carroll is. Real classy coach. A fake punt. A fake punt with 5 minutes left against the Rams? You just knock pretty boy Goff like into the locker room a couple of minutes. Yeah, let's run a fake punt now, guys. Yeah, I think I don't think we're up enough. The Rams might come back from 21 down with 5 minutes left. We better run the fake punt. I'm glad that cheating, deflating, football kicking son of a bitch Sean Ryan got hurt on the play. There was nothing sweeter than seeing him fall face first and then get crushed. And then after, Russell Wilson getting smacked in the face. Russell Wilson's a pretty boy virgin or Mr. Microsoft or whatever. But he plays with a bunch of punk-ass thug bitches. That's what Richard Sherman is. Richard Sherman is the definition of a bitch. I don't know, can I say that? If I can't say it, let me spell it. B-I-T-C-H. Sherman. Richard Sherman. Reporting for duty, sir. Richard Sherman's such a bitch that he actually blocked JerMichael Finley this week on Twitter because Finley was sending him highlights of Devontae Adams schooling him last week. Richard Sherman's always a big man. Richard Sherman's the type of dude that, he picks a fight with the little kid in the class and then postures after the fact. Let's see, Richard Sherman, cheap shot at Buffalo Bill field goal kicker Dan Carpenter. That's not cool. Actually, Dan Carpenter deserves to get plowed. Good job, Sherman. I don't got a problem with that one. Screw you, Carpenter. How about you hit a damn freaking extra point, you son of a bitch? But that was still wrong, Sherman. But Sherman blindsided Devontae Adams last week. Sherman's always walking out fine line. Oh, no, it was live. It was a live ball and stuff. But whenever you dish it back, he can't take it. I'm not surprised. I guarantee you Richard Sherman's a Democrat and a left-wing pinko commie, because that's what they do. They cry and cry, but then they want to sue you or block you on Twitter. They block you. Too bad you can't block any good wide receiver. Seattle Seahawks, like, seriously. You guys are like the Clippers of the NFL. You'll beat up on crap teams, but I bought into your crap. I'm not now. You're not good, and you're classless, and the football gods will make you pay, Carroll. You know, but on all honesty, like, really, Pete Carroll? She would be surprised. I mean, this is only like the second sleaziest thing Carroll's done. Remember, like, leaving the USC Trojan program in the dumps that he did. All right, bold prediction number two, and I'm going out on a limb on this one. The Buffalo Bills are going to beat the Cleveland Browns. The Buffalo Bills are going to beat the Cleveland. That's it. I said it, man. I said it. The Buffalo Bills are going to beat the Cleveland Browns. That must be a bold prediction, because that fat lard-ass Marcell Dareus out of Buffalo Bills guarantees it. Oh, you guarantee you're going to beat the Cleveland Browns, eh, Dareus? You shouldn't be guaranteed. Can you even guarantee you're not going to get arrested or suspended before the game on Sunday? You shouldn't be guaranteeing anything. The only thing you can guarantee is you're going to stuff your face with a fat-ass cheeseburger tonight. All right? We'll just be all lucky if you don't smoke a bong after the fact or do some meth or something else. Or what is it, the syrup that you're on? Whatever it is. You must be on a lot of that that purple drink, bro. Oh, yeah, good for you. How about actually guaranteeing a win against the Pittsburgh Steelers instead of letting Le'Veon Bell rush for the most yards in that stadium since O.J. Simpson? How about, you know, actually beating the Miami Dolphins? You guaranteed you're going to be, I got a guarantee for you. The next Justin Bieber song's going to suck. Oh, I went on a limb there. Bold prediction. All right, but you know what? You are going to win just because you guys are the poster boys of mediocrity. You'll finish 8-8. All right, what else do we got? Yeah, bold prediction number three. Dak Prescott will do enough. He'll do enough to keep away the Tony Romo fanboys, at least for another week, in an entertaining, high-scoring football game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But the Buccaneers are going to cover the point spread. Dallas will win. Tampa will cover the spread. And finally, in closing, listen, guys, you look at the point spreads this week. They're all really, there's a lot of tight games. So there's not nowhere really to go. Too bold, but I will tell you, in a battle of 9-4 football teams in New Jersey, Matthew Stafford will outplay Eli Manning. The Detroit Lions are better than the New York Giants. People are buying into the Giants beating the Cowboys. Giants always beat the Cowboys. Detroit Lions are a better team. Our bold prediction is give me the Detroit Lions on a money line. +175. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. The game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We got a ton of stuff to get to. It's a good thing we go to a commercial break after the rage of the day, because it normally takes me a minute or two to decompress. But we're going to decompress and kick it real chill. We're going to go bowling for dollars. We're talking some DFF fantasy hot roster style with the raging redhead Cam Stewart. And Pat Mayo is going to join us in studio with his super lock of the week. So let's talk some college football right now with Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the covers experts. What's going on, Steve? How you doing?
Hey, Gabe, doing well.
Right, Steve. So we got a lot of bowls, man. We got 5 bowl games tomorrow. Actually, there's another one added, actually, but it wasn't on the board earlier in the week, the Grambling game. Grambling's favored by 15. I don't know a hell of a lot about that one, Steve, to be honest with you.
Yeah, these teams are so bad that they give up their playoff rights ahead of the season so they can play in this game, because they know they have no chance in the FCS playoffs. That tells you all you need to know about those two teams.
But isn't Grambling good this year, like a one-loss team?
Yeah, they're a decent team, but I mean, the level of play is so bad in those conferences. NC Central, really bad. What's interesting, though, Gabe, is that this game has been on the board now for several days. You know, normally, the last couple years, this game has not even been posted in some sports books, but it's on the rotation now, and even some bowl contests. just have it in the mix, which is kind of interesting. The two big FCS games are the semifinal playoff games tonight. North Dakota State against a really good James Madison team should be a great game tonight. That's a standalone game, along with, I think, the Division III title game, and then the Division II title game tomorrow, and the Eastern Washington game, the FCS.
You know me, Steve. Normally I'd be all over that stuff, and I have been in past years, and I've done okay, but I have bad memories. Like, my worst gambling day ever in my life was a real bad one, and we lost an obscene amount of money, and it was in those playoffs, and I realized I was betting, you know, much too much amounts of money on the FCS playoffs, so I've sort of stayed away this year, but I'll be taking a look. And as you mentioned, these college contests, I'm in one, and I'm looking forward to picking some winners straight up. And who's going to win straight up doesn't always correlate, but we do see a lot of blowouts in bowl games generally, don't we, Steve?
In general, if you play big underdogs and more than a touchdown and double-digit dogs, especially in these minor bowl games, these early December games, over the last decade plus, you've won more than you've lost. I mean, it's been almost a 60% play long-term in a lot of these situations. With that said, it seems like it hasn't worked quite as well the last couple of years. I think one of the reasons, Gabe, is because there are so many teams and bowls now that it's gotten even more watered down than it was in the past.
Yeah.
You know, in the past, when you're getting a 7 or 10-point dog, they were still a top 40 team, maybe. Now, 82 teams from 1A have made the college bowls. That's almost 70% of the field. You know, 65-70% of the teams make it. So now I think there really are some situations where they're just pure mismatches.
All right, so let's start off with the New Mexico Bowl. The Lobos have been a good team this year, Steve. They can run the ball. They're 8-4 straight up. Only 6-6 against the spread. They're 10-2 to the over on the season. The total 62.5. They're putting up 37 points per game. And oh yeah, they're playing this game on their home field. They gave Arizona all they could handle last year in this bowl game, and they lost. Bowl games are often about motivation. Texas San Antonio, I believe it's their first bowl game, so they should be somewhat fired up. But New Mexico gunning for a 9-win season. What's your take on this one? I think there should be some points on the board. I like the over.
Yeah, you're right about it. I mean, New Mexico at home, basically, so this should be a motivated spot for them. But it's one of those situations where they're laying more than a touchdown, so that gets me a little bit looking at the dog here. And there is some motivation edge for Texas San Antonio. It is their first bowl appearance. This program started in 2011. They didn't even play the FCS 1AA level. They started straight off at the big boys with Larry Coker.
Yeah.
And he was suddenly let go last January. They only had one winning season with them. They didn't make a bowl that year. Frank Wilson takes over his first year. They're bowling, so they'll be excited here. Option attack for New Mexico. The key, of course, against the option is a run defense. Texas San Antonio, actually not a bad run D, only giving up 4.5 yards a carry this year. But more importantly, they have extra time to prepare here. Their last game was November 26th. That means they have 20 full days of practice and preparation time for the triple option, which could be an edge here in this game for the underdog.
The Las Vegas Bowl, the sexiest game on the board, and you wrote about this game and the lines to watch. The numbers going up, actually. I was surprised to see that. I thought it would come down.
Yeah.
It was 3, then it was 3.5. I thought it would come back down to 3, but we see some 4s popping up there, Steve.
Yeah, last week covers.com asked me to do a couple games, you know, to bet now. And I actually just posted the other day, it just got posted, my games to bet later. So check that out as well. We can talk about that next week. This is one game I thought at +3 to take now because I thought the line would come down, but it's done the exact opposite. It went to 3.5 and now it's up to 4, another key number. I just don't understand that. If you're looking at the overall results this season, yeah, maybe you back Houston, but they're without head coach Tom Herman, who was a real players coach. You got to figure the players got to be a bit disappointed with him gone now. Plus, Houston had to have been hoping for a bigger bowl game. They went 9-3 this season, had huge wins against Oklahoma and Louisville, and now they're playing in a meaningless December 17th game. San Diego State, of course, won the Mountain West against Wyoming. Maybe a little bit of a letdown for them as well, but they're a good defensive dog, and I was a little surprised to see this game go higher. I think this is one of those situations where the favorite Houston might not be totally focused.
Yeah, it sounds generic when you read how to bet bowl games, and you know, everyone always talks about motivation is a factor, but I don't think it could be overestimated, actually, or overemphasized here, Steve. As you're right, I mean, Houston, okay. I think this is just Johnny Sixpack starting to pull the trigger on this game, looking at the number, thinking, oh man, Houston, I saw them beat Oklahoma. I saw Houston beat Florida State. But that's why we always talk about it. Sometimes you're the hunter, sometimes you're the hunted, right, Steve? And you're, yeah. You know, the Aztecs, I was bigging these guys up earlier in the year as a potential dark horse to be where Western Michigan is or what Houston was trying to do. And they just ran out of gas. It was as simple as that. Coach Long, they asked what happened. He goes, my kids just got tired, man. And, you know, we couldn't stop anybody for a couple of weeks. But they dug down deep. They went on the road. They win the Mountain West Conference Championship game. And, you know, like you said, man, Houston beat Florida State, Oklahoma, and Louisville in the past 12 months. They can't be as fired up right now playing against San Diego State. Meanwhile, San Diego State can make a name for themselves on national television here.
And the other thing to keep in mind, too, as far as Johnny Sixpack, is the last game San Diego State played was that Wyoming game, which they only won by 3 points against a Wyoming team that's been god-awful for the last couple seasons. That game was on ESPN Saturday night a week ago, or 2 weeks ago. Everybody that was out at a bar or a restaurant, all the TVs are just generically on ESPN, even though nobody cared about that game. And people saw them, you know, barely beat Wyoming. So I think you could definitely make a case Houston is a very public play.
All right, let's talk about the Camellia Bowl. Appalachian State and Toledo. This is a trickier one. Sun Belt and Mountain West Conference taking place in Montgomery, Alabama. Steve, both teams are 9-3. App State are 6-6 against the spread. The Rockets are 7-5 against the spread. Logan Woodside's a hell of a quarterback, and you know I just think Toledo's played a tougher schedule than App State has personally. I like their wins more. I'm leaning with Toledo, but I like Toledo getting all those points against Western Michigan, and they got massacred. So motivation a factor here once again. What's your take on this MAC belt matchup?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that motivation could be a factor because I agree that last game against Western Michigan, we talked about it here live on Friday on Game Time Decisions a month ago on November 25th, and Toledo came out really short as a 7-point dog, losing by 20. Had over 450 offensive yards, but a 3-0 turnover deficit. Toledo, a very explosive offensive team, but not a good defense. Giving up almost 5 yards a carry this season. Appalachian State, a powerful rushing attack. This could be one of those early bowl games in which we see a lot of points in the over, especially if Toledo a little bit flat.
Yeah, 57.5, a reasonable number.
Very reasonable.
Yeah, you're right. I like where you're going with that. And, you know, you're going to force a pick. We're not saying to take every game here, but I just wanted to give you guys a preview, quick hit preview of every game. And I like where you're going with that. I do agree with San Diego State. And the San Diego State total went down to 52 as well. I'm creeping towards the over in this one, but the App State Toledo game, tough game to cap from a side perspective, but 57.5 is a fair number. This is another intriguing one, Steve, in which the public and sort of the, you know, a lot of the writers out there on a lot of the websites keep on stressing they like Central Florida because they're playing in Orlando. And we talked about it with New Mexico, and not every situation is the same. It's just this Arkansas State team, they're going to be pretty fired up coming into this game, winning 7 of their last 8 games after an 0-4 start.
Yeah, and Central Florida has one of the worst home fan bases in all of college football. So they don't go to home games in Orlando, so I'm not sure they're going to suddenly go to a bowl game.
And good point. And Steve, it's the holidays. Half these kids aren't even there.
Plus, you know, meanwhile, Arkansas State has the chance to go to a real fun bowl game for the first time. They're usually playing to those Mobile, Alabama games and stuff. So now all their fans can go to Disney World and watch the bowl game. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Arkansas State actually had the advantage in Orlando, as silly as that sounds.
That's crazy. It's true.
So that's just how you have to look at these things, though. You know, I mean, Central Florida's never had a real good fan base down there. It's never really been a football school, even when they did well with Dante Culpepper and some of the other guys they had. They can't run the ball at all. Passing offense was very weak this year. This is a very mediocre offensive team. So this would be one of the times maybe the over doesn't work as well. But laying there a full touchdown with a bad offensive team in a bowl game like this is always a concern.
I just have a feeling as well. I'm tempted by the over just because it's so low, 49.5 for a college game. But I just think that points are going to be tough to come by in this game, and I'd rather have those 5.5 points with a football team that's going to. I get it. UCF's fired up. They were 0-12 last year. They're in a bowl game, but they're not as good as the public perception is. We talked about it with Malinsky earlier in the week. Scott Frost, the Ducks, comes in with the reputation. Remember earlier in the year, they were trying to run up tempo and they were getting killed. As the year went on, he just slowed everything down. They're not an explosive offense. Neither neither is Ark State, but you know, I like the 5.5 points. All right, the New Orleans Bowl, Steve, Saturday night. This might be more entertaining than the Dolphins and Jets game. Actually,
I joked about that on a show earlier today. They go, let's not talk about any of these meaningless bowl games. All we talked about was San Diego State, and then they jumped into the Jets Miami game, and I was laughing to myself. I go, this might be worse than the Saturday night bowl game.
I was thinking about this too. I was like, really? Like when I was like, oh God, Jets Dolphins. You know, I promised
it. Tannehill.
I told someone I was going to take him to a movie, and I was thinking, you know, Jets Dolphins. I guess I could bite the bullet on that one. That's a rough one right there. But Southern Miss and Lafayette, it's going to be an entertaining game, Steve. Speaking of overs, what about the total here, 58 in the Superdome?
Yeah, only concern here, though, is Louisiana Lafayette, a really bad offensive team. They average less than 24 points a game, only 5 yards a carry, and they did that mainly against Sun Belt opponents, so that's always a major concern. But defensively, they're pretty solid this year, so I always lean towards the over in these minor December bowl games, but that Central Florida game and now this Louisiana Lafayette-Southern Miss game is a case where it does look like both offenses might struggle. However, Southern Miss, not a very good defensive team this year. That's going to really be the key here in both the side and total. Southern Miss can put up some yards, but they don't really stop anybody. The question is, can Louisiana Lafayette do enough to keep up?
It's a tough game, this one, because on paper, you know, you got quarterback Nick Mullins and you got Southern Miss. I think they're on paper this year. Lafayette's down this year. You know, we know that. This isn't the best team version of the team that they've had. But we once again, Steve, we get into the weird boldness of this, and we can't overlook. We got to remind people that Lafayette are 4-0 in this bowl game, Steve. They played 4 straight years in this game. They won every year. They weren't in the game last year. Now they're back. They're getting points. There's clearly a pattern here. We know they're going to be fired up for this game.
Yeah, and in years past when we've talked about this game, we've always been concerned that they were in the same bowl game, and we thought that was a motivation negative, and they still came to play. And now that they've been off for a year, you would expect that to definitely be the case. So, yeah, I think they'll show up. But I think Southern Miss will as well. Both of these teams, by the way, had to win their season finales just to finish 6-6. Now, I'm not going to say that it clinched. That didn't ensure a bowl bid because there's some 5-7 teams this year that made it by default. But obviously going to 6-6 ensured that you would definitely be in a bowl game. And in fact, Lafayette had to win their final two games just to go to 6-6. You know, whether there's a momentum angle or a hangover, who knows?
All right, Steve, we got a minute or two left here. So your lines to bet now, actually. UCF in South Carolina, an intriguing bowl game. That game's next week. Bulls are 10-2 straight up. They're 8-4 against the spread. They're 9-3 to the over. They've got a great crop of talent on that football team. What's not in the stats is the fact that Willie Taggart split, and Charlie Strong gets the job. Nice hire there, but he's not there either right now. And you got a South Carolina Gamecock team. You and I talked about these guys. They got blasted against Clemson. That was somewhat of a disappointment in the fashion that they did. But you think their defense can match up with these guys?
Well, I mean, here, look, this is really crazy to see an SEC team catching double digits in any minor bowl game against a non-conference opponent. And the coaching situation here, just like the two games I used in this article, as we mentioned, was play against Houston, play against South Florida. Both have similar angles with Willie Taggart leaving. As you said, he took the head coaching job at Oregon. South Florida, a good offensive team, but I'm not sold on the defenses they face this season. I just think South Carolina getting 10.5, and this is an SEC opponent catching double digits against a team without their head coach. I just think that's intriguing.
That's hard to pass that up. But we got to get out of here. But the other one, even the other game you wrote about, Memphis and Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers lose their coach. Yep. Jeff Brohm goes to Purdue. Meanwhile, and Fuentes left last year. But Memphis, Memphis, solid year this year. Not bad considering you lose Paxton Lynch and your head coach, and you're still 8-4 right now, going into a winnable football game, getting 5.5. But we can talk about that game next week. Always a pleasure, Steve. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us, the Raging Redhead. Cam Stewart joins me next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, sitting alongside the raging redhead, Cam Stewart. Cam,
yes.
I know you were a little under the weather earlier
yes.
in the week, but it's great to have you back in studio.
Thanks, buddy. Love it. Ready for some hot roster?
Oh, I'm ready for some hot roster. And I don't know if you saw the intro, the beginning of the program, but every time I introduce you now, I introduce you as the kid. The kid
is hot tonight. Whoa, so hot tonight.
But where will he be
tomorrow? I'll tell you where camera two will be tonight, at Star Wars with this lady friend.
Enjoy your free coupon, buddy. Merry Christmas.
Rogue Nation.
You guys even know April Wine is. We work with some real stooges here, Morenci.
Camera two, Drew. He thinks Rogue is like that Nissan truck. Rogue Wars? What the hell is this? Rogue Wars? Like, do you know like what you're walking into? This like, you know what? This isn't like The Bachelor on a giant screen. Hey there, Drew. But anyways, I was going to say, I think I'm getting better and better at singing this song.
You like are.
I
said, we're in tone, yeah.
Almost ready for, like, I was going to say a Loverboy cover band, but no, a Loverboy cover band of the cover band.
Yeah, we're the cover band of the cover band of the cover band. We pretty much blow. We're worse than Trooper, or like the Spoons, like real bad Canadian acts.
Oh, so the control room is in sync too, huh? Maybe we should do something like viral. Like, instead of these lame mannequin challenges, you want a mannequin challenge? Just turn the cameras on Dumb and Dumber on camera one and two. They just stand there doing nothing all day. There's the mannequin challenge.
Or they're on their phones.
I'm Drew. I'm a Clemson fan. I'm in a mannequin challenge. Mikey's bumbling about going to the casino.
Yeah.
Are you even allowed in a casino? Bring ID, Mikey.
You got room for me, Mikey? I'll go in the trunk.
Like, seriously, it's a circus here.
We're going to fly to the casino, Morenci, with
That's
a friend.
Right. Yeah,
we're
going to
go in style. Don't worry about it. 18 minutes up and down, $600.
12
Be
minutes.
There.
12 minutes.
Oh, yeah, sorry, 12 minutes.
12 minutes. That's how real gamblers get to Niagara Falls. We don't drive or take the train like losers.
We fly.
I'm actually a little concerned. You're going to hear a story about two talk show hosts crashed into the Niagara Ravine in a mini Cessna degenerate gambling junket. I don't like small planes. No, I like hot roster.
I do too.
Let's jump in.
Yep.
Running backs, Cam. Running backs. Jay Ajayi. I'm in the playoffs. Yeah, I need you, bro. I need a big performance here. But I tell you what, Adam Gase doing a great job with the Dolphins.
Sure is.
But I don't like the fact he doesn't feed this guy enough. He doesn't give him the ball enough.
I'm going to tell you something, Morenci. I have Ajayi in my fantasy team, too. He's not at a total 100 yards in last five games. Let's go to the Cam on this one. Bilal Powell is an RB1 this week. He ripped apart the 49ers. I know everybody does, but listen, 14. You're not playing. Oh, yeah, I might play. No, you got big-time injuries. It's going to be all Powell all day long. And I'll tell you something, Morenci. I like the chemistry between Petty and Powell. They look like they're ready to rock. I'm telling you, give me the pooch in this matchup. Or what is he? Plus one. Yes, give it to me.
Yeah. Petty's got good chemistry with
like
that
Petty.
Anderson wide receiver
yes,
kid as well.
Yep.
He was on the practice roster. All right. Yeah, Giant Powell. You know what? The Dolphins are kind of soft against the run, too.
I like Powell a lot.
You got to go with Powell. Only because the Dolphins have a more I don't know though. Suddenly they got a backup quarterback too.
Hey, it's your choice, buddy.
Is Matt Moore really worse than Ryan Tannehill though?
I like Moops. I like Moore. He's good. Big fan of Moore in Carolina. Great guy.
This is a tough one.
Take the dog.
Let me ask camera two. Who do you like? Do you like Ajayi or Powell?
Bryce Petty.
All right, so I'll go. I want to fade him.
He said Bryce Petty. This guy's just a
I wanted
nice
to
joke.
Say, like, whoever you liked, I was going to take the opposite.
That's him. Ooh, Drew, he's so tricky.
Yeah, he really is an idiot. All right, so let's go with...
what do we got next?
Sorry,
Morenci.
Let's go with Powell.
Yeah, let's
I'm
do it.
I'm going to go with Powell as well. Ben Roethlisberger versus Andy Dalton. Is this a trap?
Yep, it is. And
it
I know...
It is, hey, you know...
Morenci?
I like Dalton this week.
I do, too. And I know you're down on gingers. You've been down on Dalton all year.
I love redheads. I just don't like Blake Griffin or Andy Dalton. It doesn't mean I don't like all redheads.
Big Ben, zero touchdowns, three picks at Buffalo. He's a train wreck on the road. His rating goes from 119 to 76.3. As for Dalton, four touchdowns his last two games. He's been efficient, Morenci. He lit it up against the Eagles for 332 yards. I like Dalton. You want to give me Dalton as a pooch against Big Ben? I'll take him. And I'll tell you one thing, the Bengals won. want nothing more than to ruin Pittsburgh's day.
I know. And, you know, last time they played, low scoring.
Yep.
Low scoring.
Dalton.
You know, the thing with this one is it almost seems too obvious. It exactly it. You know, my Who Ruined Your Sunday video is very popular.
We could do a whole damn War and Peace.
Well, exactly. So
everybody.
I guess they're putting together a montage of the Who Ruined Your Sundays this year. And Andy Dalton's appeared like 7 times in 15 weeks.
Know who else has? El Terriblo and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
It's been a lot of Cam Newton, too.
Yeah, Cam Newton's been awful.
Yeah, a lot of Cam
Newton. We'll get to him later.
You know...
Next?
I'm going to go with Andy Dalton as well. Let's shake things up a little bit this week.
Big pooches.
This one. This is a tough one because I like both these guys this week.
So
Carlos Hyde versus LeGarrette Blount. Who's going to get more fantasy points? Non-PPR. Hyde, 193 yards last week. I was going to say, you know, the problem with Hyde is the Niners are always from behind, but they've been from behind all year, and he still puts numbers up.
Hyde was amazing. He was amazing against
you know, but LeGarrette Blount might be one of the most underrated fantasy running backs in the league. He's like the 5th most efficient back in the league.
You're right. And another thing about what do we know about the Denver Broncos?
They can't stop the run.
You can't throw. They stop the throwing, but they can't stop the run. Morenci's right. Carlos Hyde is an absolute beast. I love the situation. He's on the fast track in Atlanta. This is a tough matchup. This is a race of two guys that are going to light it up, both in the fantasy world. I'm going to take Hyde, though. I really think he gets it done against Atlanta. I like it, but I think you're leaning Blount. You leaning Blount?
Well, you know, I'm not saying I'm not a fan of Blount, but...
He's amazing.
I'm going to run in Hyde.
Ooh.
Carlos.
Yes, Carlos.
Yeah, just like Carlita used to say. That's cool.
That is cool. Dude.
That's right. We're going with Carlos Hyde. Yeah, that's great.
Need a big apple.
I like Carlos Hyde this week. Yeah. And even though, like I said, even though the Falcons are probably going to be up, they move the ball down the field.
Lots of digging and dunking.
And if they're playing this soft sort of defense and they're up by 21, that's when you can get that nice 40-yard run.
Exactly.
40-yard run in that prevent defense. Let's go with Carlos Hyde. I agree. Carson Palmer versus Sam Bradford. Intriguing, tough matchup. Matchmakers and Hot Roster not making our lives easy.
No, these guys aren't screwing around, Morenci. Think about
Palmer.
I'm not leading Palmer. Palmer, it looks like a good situation against the Saints. They've been a little bit better lately. 8 picks in his last 6 for Palmer. As for Bradford, I know he's not going to light it up.
Look at the picture of Palmer. He just looks old.
Look at the picture of Bradford. I don't even know where are you looking, buddy? I'll tell you something. I'm taking Bradford on Hot Roster, 292, 247. And Sam Bradford's got the worst style, too. Every pitcher, he's like wearing his pads and stuff. Dude, get a grip.
His haircut looks like a 9-year-old boy.
I know. Hi, I'm Sam Bradford. Can I have a lollipop? I'll tell you something. I'm going to go with him this week at +2.5, though, against the Colts at home. Sorry, Indy. You're going to get shredded by little Bradford. little Sammy. Shammy. Hey, Shammy.
Little Bradford. You know, the thing with this is, Carson Palmer's been terrible, but even in his terribleness, he still puts up some fantasy numbers.
Larry Fitzgerald, too.
I just have a feeling. So, Floyd Chug.
Glug. He's a Patriot.
Now he's a New England Patriot. Don't get into a car with Floyd and LeGarrette Blount. Yeah, it's not going to end well for you.
That's tough.
All right, but it'll end better than it would have if you were in a car with Aaron Hernandez, but that's another story. It's a tough one. I'm going Palmer here, though.
Okay, you're allowed to take Carson.
See, because with Hernandez, this way you don't get shot when you get out of the car. That was the point.
It was a good joke, actually, but these guys don't give you anything.
Elliott versus Freeman, both in good matchups, but I'll tell you what, I think Ezekiel Elliott's going to go off this week against this Tampa Bay Buccaneer defense. It's been real good, but hasn't faced a premier running back.
The thing is, though, Morenci, it's one of those things, the 49ers don't just give up to touchdowns to running backs, they give up running backs touchdowns to running back combos. It doesn't matter. Coleman was the guy. Yeah. Freeman's going to come back. San Francisco shredded. They give up over 171 a game. 19 touchdowns they've allowed on the ground. It doesn't matter if you're the one running back, two. They're going to get carved. I actually like Freeman in this matchup. I think both are going to do well, though. Elliott's going to light up Tampa Bay, and Freeman's really going to go off.
All right, we've got a bonus one.
Yeah,
here.
I love over-unders.
You see in the script, it says Cam Newton over-under 19.5 fantasy points. But it says this season. 19.5 fantasy points this season.
Oh, I didn't see that.
What? Normally, I'd be like, that's a lock. But I don't even think he has 19.5 fantasy points this season. You add up all the games. I think he's got like 14 fantasy points. So you're going under 19.5 versus the Washington Redskins.
42% completion rate over the last 4 weeks. Morency, 56 fantasy points in his last four. You break it down, it's around 14. Cam Newton, he's not getting the job done. Take the under. Keep digging.
As Charles Barkley would say, Cam Newton's been terrible.
Terrible.
Terrible. Terrible. Game time decision continues. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's rock. It's time for Pat Mayo's Super Lock of the Week. But before we get to the Super Lock, well, we like to break down a couple of other games that caught our attention, Pat. Let's start off with the Cleveland Browns and the Buffalo Bills. And as I stated off the top of the program, the Buffalo Bills are going to beat the Cleveland Browns because Marcell Dareus went out on his fat ass limb here and guaranteed a win. You know, if anything, Marcell, would have been cool if he would have guaranteed a point spread. We're going to win, and we'll cover that. What are we favored by? We should be favored by 17. We'll easily cover the 10.
It's 10 points, man, with the Bills.
The Bills can't easily cover anything.
No. And, like, I feel like this Cleveland-Buffalo game over the years has set a precedent of just weird games. Like 6-3 in the win. Like, Cleveland has kind of had Buffalo's number.
Yeah, Derek Anderson once threw for 24 yards against the Buffalo Bills
and beat
Buffalo
them.
And the Browns won.
They muffed a punt at the end of the game and kicked a field goal and won.
Now, I understand our producer in the booth, Tyler Warman, is actually going to the Buffalo Bill Cleveland Brown game. And I don't know what to say. Like, honestly, I was thinking about this. I'm not even exaggerating. Like, if you asked me to go to the game and you said I have free tickets, like, that's like, I wouldn't even return your text. If you told me I'm going to buy drinks at the game for you, not enough. Like, $500. Like, you know, like, honestly, like, what would it take to get you to go to this Buffalo-Cleveland game?
I'm not going.
For $500 cash, free ticket, and ride back and forth, would you go?
Maybe. I'd think about it. Listen, I'm a pricey guy. Man. My time is very valuable. And you know, spending the entire day in Buffalo just sounds awful enough. And, you know.
All right, so the real deal is Warman wants to go to the Galleria and score some cheap deals. Holiday. All right, I get it. It's a 2-1 deal.
I'm taking Cleveland against the spread.
I don't even know if I'm going to watch this game.
I'm taking Cleveland against the spread. I'm closing my eyes and seeing if I watch
it. I can't take Cleveland against the spread. Because
they never cover?
I took them last week.
They never cover.
A moron. Loser.
They don't even cover teasers.
The point spread was 5.5 last week, and since then, it went down to 4. Like, money. Like, why was an 0-12 team only 4-point underdogs? I can't bite again, but I don't want to lay the 10. Here's an ugly stat. The Bills are 0-9 against the spread in back-to-back home games versus teams that played at home the week before.
That's convoluted.
Yeah. Well, you know what it means? The Bills suck, all right? That's what it means.
I think the Bills are 1-6 ATS in their last 7 games just overall as well. So, I mean, and it's not like Cleveland's any good. Like I said, like, Cleveland's not even covering teasers. You can tease Cleveland up all you want. They're still not winning at this point. But like I said, I will take the plus 10 and just be on my way.
I will admit, I'll take the Buffalo Bills in a teaser. I'm like Mo in The Simpsons. I got a hot date tonight. Like he's like...
Date at home.
Victoria's Secret catalog. Sears catalog. I can't lie if it was a lie detector test. I'm going to bet the damn game, all right? But I'm going to put the Bills on a teaser, and I swear, if you guys lose, I'm going to go to Buffalo personally and throw rocks through all your windows. All right, Titans and Chiefs, tricky game.
I like the Titans in this game. It feels to me, and I think Chiefs fan Luke in the office kind of pointed this out to me, it seems like Andy Reid's game plan every single week is, let's just win on a Cairo Santos field goal at the end of the game and just be happy with that. This feels like a 3-point game. Tennessee just played very well against Denver, and I think that the Chiefs are not going to have the guts to attack Tennessee the same way that Denver did, which is the way that you attack them. Just pass. Just pass, 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 pass. Complete these little 5-yard completions and just be on your way. And the one thing that Kansas City does really, really well is get to the passer. But Tennessee has one of the best pass-blocking offensive lines in all of football. They are very, very poor at defending running quarterbacks. They're second worst in the league, giving up yards to running quarterbacks. Mariota has the 4th most rushing yards in the league. I don't know if Tennessee wins, per se, but I think 5.5 is an awful lot of points for teams that, well, Kansas City, yes, is better. They probably do win the game, but it's probably by a field goal. I think there could be upset potential here. I do like the Titans, and I always like Mariota on the road a lot better than I like him at home.
Well, you know, you thought my Bills ATS trend was convoluted. Here's a straightforward one for you. The Kansas City Chiefs are 0-5 against the spread their last five times they played against AFC South teams, which I don't get.
They're also 2-4 at home this season against the spread.
Last time, okay, they beat the Raiders. That's a huge game.
Short week, broken hand.
Division rival for all that
stuff. In the cold.
What happened in the game before that? Buccaneers beat them outright. What happened before that?
Saints.
Jacksonville, 19-14. And that was close, man. Saints game was close. I had the KC in a survivor pool that time.
Backdoor cover.
And I remember, man, New Orleans had the ball late. Jacksonville had the ball late. Pat's right. Kansas City aren't pulling away from anyone. I like the 5 points in what's going to be all these Kansas City games are close. This game has 14-13 written all over it.
And the whole thing is, like, everyone's all going crazy about Tyreek Hill. I like Tyreek Hill, but, I mean, we saw this with Dante Hall like a decade ago. Eventually, you just stop returning a punt every game for a touchdown. That's not something that's not a sustainable part of your offense.
I'm buying, though, from a DK point.
And the fact that he's being used as a receiver, that's great. He's getting extra possessions, but if I was Tennessee, I know Mike Mularkey's a moron, but it'd be like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to punt to you. How about that?
Yeah, but Mike Mularkey, actually, as much as he's a moron,
the team is pretty good.
It's like the world is reversed, right? Donald Trump is the president. Mike Mularkey's going to the playoffs. Because there's all these bad trends with Mularkey. Oh, he's 0-6 against the spread in this spot. He's 0-something in every day.
This is probably the best team he's had since, what was he, the interim in Atlanta like 6 years ago?
Was he?
I think so.
Buffalo.
Yeah, he was in Buffalo, but I think then he got fired. Then he was like the
Jacksonville. They was. You're right. I don't know if he was in Atlanta. He was in Jacksonville. They sucked in Jacksonville.
I remember he just was the head coach of Jacksonville at one point.
All right. So before we run out of time, Raiders and Chargers. This is a tricky one.
It feels like a trap for the Raiders, but I'm going to bite on it anyway.
But it isn't.
But I want to bite on the Raiders anyway. They're better on the road.
Raiders will win.
The Raiders, and this isn't the last San Diego home game. They have one final home game in Week 17.
I should note that I've been to Charger and Raider games in San Diego. It's a Raiders home game, guys. San Diego is a transient city. It's a lot of old people surfing and stuff. There's not that. It's not a rabid home fan base. Raider fan could take over this place. If Raiders need the win, I'll lay the three.
If you're playing, so will I. If you're playing DraftKings this week, though, the Oakland-San Diego game and the Atlanta-San Francisco game are probably the two games you should be targeting.
Yeah.
I think it's just a lot of points in both those games.
Yeah, and that running back on San Diego actually gets some touches.
Captain Jack Farrow?
Yeah,
he's going to be fine.
Farrow. How much time do we have left? We have time for the Eagles-Ravens. Quick Eagles-Ravens. You like the Ravens? You're going to lay the 5.5?
Yeah, I'm going to lay the 5.5. Philadelphia is terrible, and they're even more terrible on the road.
They've lost 8 of their last
9 everything, days. Everything that the Eagles kind of do well, the Ravens do way better. The Ravens are excellent at home. The Eagles suck on the road. The Ravens just are a better team. They still have the best defense in the league. Oh, they got torched by New England. Well, that happens. Carson Wentz is not going to torch them up. Just take the Ravens, be happy with it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. The Eagles have lost 8 of 11. They lost 4 in a row. They're on a 2-8 against the spread run, man. Like, they've only covered 2 times in the last 10 weeks, which leads us in to the Super Lock of the Week. All right, Super Lock of the Week, Pat.
I was feeling pretty good last week. I had the Chargers +1 on the road in Carolina. Melvin Gordon goes down. Joey Bosa goes down. They return a pick 99 yards for a touchdown. It comes off the board. That was no fun. Killed them in the teasers, killed giant parlays, so that sucks. I'm going back to an over-under this week, though. I do like the Ravens -5.5. That's one of my strongest spread bets, but I really love the under of the primetime game Sunday night. Tampa Bay and Dallas under 47. These are two of the slowest pace teams in all of football, and when you look at the overall pace numbers, the Buccaneers look like they're kind of high, but ever since their bye week, they stop running no huddle. They just take a lot of time in between plays. It's hard to rack up a lot of points when you just don't run plays. So when you look at like the Falcons, when you look at the Ravens, when you look at the Eagles, they run a lot of plays. High paced teams. The Niners, the exact same way. These two teams just want to take the air out of the ball, a lot like the Lions, a lot like the Giants do. So while it's always terrifying taking an under in a primetime game, and it's a game you're going to be watching, a game where you probably have fantasy on the line, you want to see a lot of points, I just don't think it happens. I think Dallas wins 24-14. I think they cover the number. The public loves Tampa in this game. Just Dallas is going to write itself. himself. The world is not sinking for them. Dak Prescott is fine. They're going to win this game, and they're going to win it by a little more than the spread, but keep it under the number, under 47 lock of the week.
Winston's been more responsible with the football during their five-game win streak, but it's been carried by the defense. And you know,
run
the fact
defense,
is,
too.
They're 3-0-1 to the under. The Bucs in their last four. Dallas Cowboys, two straight unders, obviously, last two. 3-1 to the under the last four. If you guys remember that game against the Washington Redskins on Thanksgiving, only went over the number with an extremely late Kirk Cousins Washington Redskin touchdown. It was a backdoor cover that covered the number for the Skins and went over the number. We got to get out of here. Always a pleasure. Pat Mayo will come back with some lineups and some picks for you. It's time for our weekly DraftKings Millionaire Maker lineup or mix it up. I'm not one of these, oh, if it's in this tournament or you're playing for cash and all this. I'm looking to put the best damn lineup that I can together. I'm not going to lie to you guys. This was the toughest one of the year. Toughest one of the year. And I like Derek Carr. I was going to stack him with Cooper. I was considering Eli Manning and Beckham Jr.'s because they were so cheap. How about Tate and Matt Stafford? Nothing just freaking felt right, man. Nothing felt right. And I got to tell you, like, I was looking at this and I look at it, I'm like, oh God, this is what I came up with after all those hours. But how many times have I stood here and told you I freaking love this lineup? How many times that happened to you guys? Oh, this lineup, this is going to do great. Right? Going to do great. Well, you know, when it's all said and done, I think we're on to something here. Let's start off with Joe Flacco and tell you why we're going with Joe Flacco. I never imagined. You know, listen, I got to believe that only like 1% of people are going to own Joe Flacco. In all sincerity, maybe like 5%, but these guys are throwing the ball since Marty Mordigwig has taken over, man. 99 passing attempts in the last 2 weeks, 170 attempts in the last 4 weeks, 8 touchdown passes. Eagles aren't playing the same type of football as they were earlier in the year. All they do is throw the damn ball. Carlos Hyde, man, this guy's just putting up numbers. Doesn't matter if the 49ers are trailing or not. He's going to put up numbers, and even if they're playing from behind and they're in a prevent defense in Landark, he can pop off a big run. Carlos Hyde's going to get in there. He's going to get us a touchdown. Ezekiel Elliott's going to go off. The Tampa Bay Buccaneer defense has been playing great football over the last month and a half or so, but they've been playing a lot of passing attacks. They haven't really faced an elite top-tier running back. I think Dallas is going to get back to basics. They're going to play smash-mouth football. They're going to try to put Dak in a good spot. I think Elliott's going to go off here. Tyreek Hill, $5,700. Gabriel, $5,700. Even if Jones is healthy, and he's not, but he's not going to get a lot of snaps even if he plays. Sanu out. Mike Wallace, he's going to get a bomb touchdown, guys. Kyle Rudolph's been racking up the damn targets. Golden Tate and finally racking up in the Packers defense in what's going to be the coldest game in the history of the National Football League. Matt Barkley will not play well. All right, let's get to our plays of the day. Nets Magic, over 216.5. Hawks and the Raptors, going to lay to 7.5. All they do is cover, and all the Raptors do is cover and go over the number. So let's go over. Last time they played, a week and a half ago, they put up 124 on the Hawks. Pelicans and Rockets, another over. We're going to go over 219 points here. Kings and Grizzlies. Grizzlies are one of the best bets in the NBA. Why the hell are they only laying 5.5 points against the visiting Sacramento Kings? And finally, in closing, generally, I don't like laying double digits, but the Dallas Mavericks are that bad because Mark Cuban spends more time on Shark Tank and crying about the election than he does building a winning basketball team. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours. Yeah.